to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for our weekly visit with one of the country's preeminent experts on Asia. He is Gordon Chang. You find his writings at The Daily Beast, Forbes.com, at WorldAffairsJournal.com. He is a frequent guest at Fox News and in other media outlets, and we're always pleased to have him on this one. Gordon Chang, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Hey, I wanted to follow up with you on a conversation that we've had in the past week or two and on a chat that I just had earlier in the program with Representative Rob Whitman about Rodrigo Duterte's visit to Beijing. The congressman was very worried about its strategic implications for the United States and our ability to project power in that very important part of the world. Gordon, you, when we last discussed this, thought that there might be some blowback on Duterte back home for his essentially changing sides. Talk about what, if anything, is going on there as you see it now.
Well, there certainly has been blowback, and it has continued. Most notably, former President Fidel Ramos has criticized Duterte, and Ramos was a Duterte supporter. Antonio Carpio, who is a Supreme Court justice, said that Duterte could be impeached if he gave up any Philippine territory. And we had seen Duterte himself backtrack on his comments about separating from the United States. You know, we should be under no illusion. This guy is not just bargaining, as some people say. He is genuinely anti-American. But we've got to remember that he's in a political context that only allows him certain room to maneuver away from the U.S. And clearly Duterte right now is trying to get Chinese money, and he's going to be successful in that. But it's really not going to change, I think, over the long term, the Philippines' posture, because China wants Philippine territory, and this is a zero-sum contest which Manila cannot concede. So essentially, we are going to see, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe after Duterte leaves office, but we will see the Philippines return to a full embrace of the United States.
Let me talk to you about China. As we're speaking, the sixth plenum is underway in Beijing, and there is reason to believe that it will bear on the future of the political character, at least of Xi Jinping's power there. Make book on this for us, if you would, Gordon. What do you think is going to come out of this, and what's the backdrop for it that makes this so momentous for him and for his country?
The backdrop is that today starts the sixth plenum, which is a four-day closed meeting of the Central Committee of the Communist Party. It is really in anticipation of next year's 19th Party Congress, where many people suspect that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, will be able to consolidate his position. What makes this fascinating is that Xi Jinping is not just merely trying to put his people into place. He is breaking norms and guidelines and rules that have been around for decades to ensure stability. So while Xi Jinping is more powerful than his peers, what he's trying to do is creating opposition among other figures, and this means turmoil in China. And whenever you have civilians squabble, you generally have China's flag officers becoming more politically influential because civilians look to them for political backing, and that gives them a power-broking role. That can't be good for anybody in the region and the United States, as China's foreign policy becomes much more belligerent and much more assertive.
Gordon, you had a very interesting piece in The Guardian recently about the Chinese century already being over, which, as you have often done, flies in the face of the conventional wisdom. And yet, there seems to be, as you argue so persuasively, lots of reasons to believe that whatever Xi Jinping's ambitions are, whatever the attitude of the Chinese People's Liberation Army leadership may be, that the wheels are coming off this train in China. And I'd ask you to sort of make the case for that being so, economically and perhaps politically as well?
Well, on the political front, the system is under stress. We see that not only with the sixth plenum, but there have been a number of instances of public defiance of Xi Jinping. And with his attempt to really move away from collective leadership to a one-man system, this is causing turmoil. But this is also occurring in a backdrop of something which is as fundamental and maybe perhaps even more so, and that is the Chinese economy slowing. It claimed three straight quarters of 6.7% growth this year, which is completely unbelievable. Probably the economy is growing maybe half that, maybe even less. And this has real implications because China won't have the money to do what its leaders hope. And as they start to see a closing window of opportunity, it means that they are going to become more belligerent because they realize that if they're going to realize their ambitions, they've got to do that now. There's two reasons for this closing window of opportunity. One is, I mentioned, the economy. The other is demography. China's demography is accelerating a decline, and Chinese leaders are starting to understand the strategic implications of this, especially because a next-door neighbor, India, is going to become the world's most populous state.
You know, Gordon, you're one of the country's acknowledged experts on China, and yet the line had long been, as you know, that China could not survive with less than double-digit growth. So even if the numbers, and I'm sure you're right, that they are manipulating them and they are lying about this growth rate of 6.7%, and that would look pretty good to us, wouldn't it? But still, for them, it's way below what they need. And if it's actually half that or less, and you quote a professor at Peking University in your Guardian piece saying it may be zero growth, that would certainly put, as you say, the system under acute stress, which again, for our purposes, is especially worrying as your contribution to our recent book, Warning Order, China Prepares for Conflict and Why We Must Do the Same, suggests this could well translate into a very much heightened degree of confrontation, if not actual conflict, with China in the near future.
There's a lot of disagreement over how fast China is growing. I've never thought that it needed double-digit growth, but it needs more than it has now, because even if you accept the 6.7% figure, and you shouldn't, China is creating debt four times faster than incremental gross domestic product. That's completely unsustainable. If Christopher Balding of Peking University's School of Business is right, China grew 0.3% last year. And what he did was he actually looked at money flows, bank payment data, which a lot of economists and analysts don't do. Now, I don't know if Balding is right, but I do know that this is a situation which cannot sustain itself. And certainly in the long term, this means that the People's Liberation Army is not going to have double-digit increases. This year, it's announced 7.6% increase, much less than last year's 10.1% increase. We have flag officers complaining in public about this. And clearly, you know, we worry about a China two decades from now. No, we should worry about China at this particular time, largely because of this closing window of opportunity on so many fronts. China right now is really starting to look at its region and starting to wonder as it looks at countries starting to coalesce against it. So therefore, the Chinese realize if they're going to make a move, it's probably going to be soon, and we are going to be caught unaware. We've got to remember, China challenges every new American president in the first months in office. They did that with Obama and George W. Bush. We're going to have a new president soon. We'll probably have a challenge from Beijing soon. And this one may be larger than the other one.
Stay tuned, as they say, folks. We'll be listening and watching your work on this very closely, as always. Gordon Chang, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week and to talking to the rest of you again, I hope, tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.